Hey, good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? You're all good? Excellent, excellent. All right, tricky question for you to start with. Are you up for a tricky question? No, you're a wise man, Daniel, because this is a tricky question. Now, when I ask this question, no one poke fingers at me, okay? This is not about me, this is about you. I've already had to deal with it all week. Here we go, you ready? Who knows the good you should do and doesn't do it? A couple of hands went up. Very good. Very good. I know a lot of good things that I should do. I know I should have a balanced life. I know I should be able to say the word no every now and then. I know I should watch what I eat, and according to my doctor, when he went red in the face telling me, I need to lose weight to help my blood pressure. There's a whole bunch of things, if we sat and thought about it, are all the good things that we know we should do, but for some reason, we don't do it. We just go, yep, she'll be right, mate. Nah, it's all good. I don't know what it is that gets into us. I don't know what it is that gets into me that I don't do the things that I know I should do, the good things that I know I should do. So we're going to have a look at that a bit today, because Jesus challenges us in the Sermon on the Mount, the teaching on the hill, that we should do the things that he's called us to do, and they are good things. I think the Aussie vernacular is that someday I'll get on to doing that thing. Someday. Anyone got a few someday jobs around the house? Someday I'll get onto that and I'll fix it. Someday. Or someday I'll give that person a phone call. They used to be a good friend of mine. I should give them a call. Someday. Someday I'll start that exercise routine. Oh, who wrote that? It's a bit personal. Someday I'll start that exercise routine. Someday I'll finish that book that I was reading. Someday I'll do the things I need to do to change. Anyone echo some of those some days? What about these? Someday I'll find help for the addiction that I've kept quiet from everybody. Someday I'll do some work on my marriage that I've hidden from everyone. Someday I'll make the... Who wrote that? Someday I'll schedule a doctor's appointment. Someday I'll get my life right with God. Someday I'll give Jesus everything that he deserves. Before we know it, our some days turn into some weeks. Our some weeks turn into some months. And our some years come along. Benjamin Franklin, anyone heard of Benny? Yep. He said this: he that is good at making excuses is seldom good for anything else. You like that? He who is good at making excuses is seldom good for anything else. Now, Roy was going to be with us today. Roy, you haven't snuck in? No. He was going to do a whole bunch of stuff on our missional team. Our missions team is doing some really good things. So watch this space. You're going to see some amazing things happening up. Now, how many people have met Roy? Yeah, a few people, good. He's a good guy, but when you get serious with him, he can be tough. I don't know if it's because of his business world or anything, but he's gotten tough with me on three occasions. And there's one word that he's talked to me about on all three. I think he needs a new word because he's brought it up every single time. And it's the word intentional. Donnie, you need to be intentional about that. You need to be intentional. So intentional gets rid of someday, doesn't it? Intentional gets rid of not doing the good things that you know you should do, because you need to be intentional about making them happen. A book I'm reading is Lead Like It Matters to God. It's a pretty cool book by a guy called Richard Stearns. Anyone heard of Richard Stearns? He was the head of World Vision for 20 years. Pretty amazing bloke. He says this: surrender to Christ's purposes is not just a one-time event. It's a daily necessity. Surrender to Christ's purposes is not just a one-time event. It's a daily necessity. If you have your Bibles there, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. Now, I'm going to do it a little bit differently today, because there's a whole bunch of stuff in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 18, that you guys know really well. Some of you know it off by heart. Some of you know it. It's a good thing. But let's just see if we're doing that good thing. Here it is. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus assumes that his followers will continue to maintain the old covenant practices of almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. If you go back to the Old Testament, into the book of Deuteronomy and other places, you'll find that the Jewish people are challenged again and again and again to be good givers, joyful givers, big givers. They're also challenged to pray, and they're also challenged to fast. And I think they call it a holy fast. And a lot of their festivals had lots of food, but there was fasting times as well. Remember times in the Old Testament where the nation was in trouble? What would they call? A fast for the nation. And they would come to prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, we read, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. For if you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven." Jesus is here challenging us on our moral and our religious practices. It is not if, but when we will give to the needy. It is not if, but when we pray. It is not if, but when we fast. These are acts of righteousness that we can live every single day that Jesus is challenging us to. Matthew chapter 6, verses 2 to 4. Read along with me. I'm reading from the NIV. "So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what the right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Now, it doesn't say what the reward will be. It could be just a smile from our Heavenly Father saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It could be something specific. But it certainly is a challenge for us to give. Notice the word "when" is said. Now, it's not a question like Cynthia comes to me and says, "Donnie, when are you going to mow the lawn?" That's a question. This is when you do it. So it's assumed that this is what's going to happen. So the giving part to the needy is Jesus is saying to his disciples, people who want to be his followers, when you give, this is how to do it. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't played a trumpet in a long time, certainly not announced when I'm doing something in the area of giving. And I think many of us find it fairly subtle just to put the offering into the little box at the back when you sneak in, or others are doing it online. So it's very quiet, very below the surface. But it must have been a big day when Jesus pointed out, remember that time when people were making a show at the temple about how much they were putting into the box, watching everybody, "Hey, look how good I am." And the Pharisees and Sadducees got in trouble again and again and again because everyone knew that they were incredibly religious in their tithe, because they would tell everybody how good they are at tithing. It's not about telling everybody. It's about keeping it quiet, but from our heart that we give. From our heart, we're obedient to God. From our heart, we give to those in need and to the work of God's kingdom. There's a beautiful picture here that says, "Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." You know, that's pretty cool. John Chrostom, who wrote an amazing commentary on the book of Matthew, says this: "Let us do all we can to give, but with the aim of caring so little for the praise of men that we are ourselves scarcely aware of our own generosity." You like that? So we don't do it for the praise of men. In fact, if you were to sit down and think about it, you'd, it's just something I do between me and God. It's not about the praise of men. But the main point that Jesus is pointing out is, when you do this, make sure it happens. Surrender to Christ's purposes is not just a one-time event, it's a daily necessity. Next passage is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. This is the section on prayer, and there's a big part that you guys will all know really well. Let's go again. "And when you pray..." I think Jesus is in a bit of a rut here. What do you think? He keeps saying "when" all the time. Let's keep going. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of the many words that they say. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Again, Jesus says again and again and again, when. So it's an assumption on Jesus' part. If you're going to follow him, you're going to be a good giver and you're going to pray. Smith Wigglesworth was an amazing man of God. If you want to read some incredible testimonies, read about him. What things God did in and through his life was incredible. When it came to prayer, he was asked, how long do you pray? And he says, I don't often pray longer than an hour. He says, but not an hour goes past when I don't pray. There's a challenge for you. Sometimes we sit back and go, oh, I prayed for 4 hours. One of my heroes, John Wesley, would get up very early in the morning and have these massive prayer times. I think the minimum was 2 hours every morning. What a challenge. But it's not about the length of the prayers. It's not about you sit back and go, there we go, 4 hours, woohoo, how good am I? We and God, we rock. No, the point is that you pray. And like Wigglesworth, I like his, that you pray often. Now Jesus says to his disciples, here is a way you can pray. Here it is. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven those who debt against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others then the Father will not forgive you your sins. Now I know it's a great little prayer that you can pray by itself. Other people can use it as a formula. At Bedina RI, with the grade fives and sixes, we're using the prayer and teaching the kids about thanksgiving, about how to ask, and how to say sorry. So we're breaking it down into ways that people can get hold of, especially kids in grades 5 and 6, who the idea of giving thanks is like, what? And sorry. What have I got to be sorry for? We live in such a me generation that the idea of having to ask for forgiveness or forgiving other people seems so contrary. We've had some great chats and some great discussions with the kids in grades 5 and 6 at Bedina. Jesus says here that this is something we can pray, but it's also a format that we can pray into. We pray not to inform God or instruct God, but to beseech him closely, to become intimate with him by continuance in supplication, to be humbled and to be reminded of our sins. Another quote from John Christon. Private prayer helps conform us to Christ. Now you've heard a number of times Brendan and Nat talk about Christiformity. It's a fantastic word. And as a follower of Jesus, that's where we need to be. We need to have that Christ-likeness oozing out of us, flowing in and through us, so that wherever we are, whether inside these four walls or outside these four walls, that Christ-likeness is flowing in and out of us. Whether we're online or offline, that Christ-likeness flows in and out of us. Wherever we go, whatever we do, whoever we're with, that Christ-likeness, that grace, that mercy that God gives us. How much time do you spend praying in private? Do you have that quiet time with God? If you pray in a public more than you pray in private, it may be that you're concerned more about other people watching you pray than just you and God getting together. This is some of the challenge Jesus has in this passage. It's not meant to be about me. It's about meant to be my intimacy with my Heavenly Father, that he and I can get together. I can sit on his lap. I can tell him all my biggest, deepest, darkest secrets. You know why? He knows them already. And he can walk with us. Matthew Henry says, you may as soon find a living man who does not breathe than a living Christian who does not pray. Augustine, who was a lot earlier than Matthew Henry, said, to pray for the kingdom to come is to pray for it to be manifest right here on earth. So in that prayer it says, may your kingdom come Hey, how many want to see it manifest right here, right now, right here? Mate. Surrender to Christ's purposes is not just a one-time event. It's a daily necessity. Next passage, Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that you will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do you see it again and again and again in these three areas? Giving, prayer and fasting. It's all out of a relationship, that personalness with God. It's not about before other people. I mean, the example here of doing your hair properly. I mean, I don't know about you, but I haven't put oil on my hair for a little while. I watched my dad as a young boy put something called Brill Cream in a red container, and he would flick it on his head. I reckon in those days it's why kids rode push bikes, didn't need helmets. They had Brill Cream. It was like rock hard. I haven't done that. As you can tell, my hair just sits beautifully every morning straight out of bed. But the point here is that when you fast, don't make a show of it. Don't walk around as if you are fasting. Oh, I'm having a tough day today, brother. I'm fasting. I've gone without breakfast. Or today's my second day without coffee. There's no problem with me. You know? The idea of fasting is just something intimate between you and the Father. And it's something that we're challenged to do. Don't put your hands up, but just have a question. How often do you fast? When's the last time you fasted? Modern days, we've got a whole bunch of different things that we can fast to show God how serious we are. As many of you know, I was on Fraser Island for a week, and Optus was even worse this time. I don't know how that happens. Pretty sure technology's gotten better in the last year. But the technology of Optus on there was worse. Even after climbing right up the hill, sometimes I'd be yelling at Cynthia on the phone and she couldn't hear me. I'd get no data download. I didn't know if Queensland won. I didn't know if you guys were in lockdown. I didn't have a clue. And it was only when I got back to the hut that the guys on Telstra would go, hey, we won. Hey, we've got to wear masks when we go back. Hey, you know, they got all the information. But me, I felt like the shakes because I didn't have my stuff on my stuff. And I reckon it's a good fast to fast social media for every now and then, to get it out of our system and try some of the other forms of communication. Maybe a phone call. Maybe write a letter. Maybe go and do face-to-face stuff. They're all good things to do too. But we can fast all these different things. Maybe fasting food is a big one. Maybe fasting TV, social media. Maybe there's a special thing in your life that you go, okay, for this week, I'm not going to do this. Fasting is extremely beneficial in our spiritual growth and our prayer lives. Going without food helps reminds us that we can depend on God for our sustenance. Indeed, for all things. This helps us seek him more fervently, that we might know the only hope that we have to see our loved ones saved and lives change is through his working in their lives. Consider taking some time this week to stop and to fast. To stop and to say, I want to rely wholly on you, Lord. Surrender to Christ's purposes is not just a one-time event. It is a daily necessity. Who knows the good that they should do? I want to bring us back to that point. If we know the good that we should do, then we should be doing it. Amen? It's a simple thing, but it's an important thing. One of the most amazing verses that I've grabbed hold of over the years is one from James chapter 4, verse 17. Now, some of you won't like this verse. It's a bit controversial. It's a bit in your face. But it talks about doing the good that we know we should. It says this in the New Living Translation. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do, and then not do it. It's a bit black and white, isn't it? If you know the good you should do and you don't do it, it's sin. Here's from the Christian Standard Bible. So it is sin to know the good and not do it. Here's one from the King James, New King James. Therefore, to him who knows the good that he should do and does not do it, to him it is sin. The Message. As it is, you are full of your grandiose ideas. All such vaunting self-importance is evil. In fact, if you know the right thing you should do and you don't do it, for you, that is evil. That's a bit in your face. Last one's from the Passion. So if you know of an opportunity to do the right thing today, yet you refrain from doing it, you are guilty of sin. The Lord's directions to us from this passage of the Sermon on the Mount, the teaching on the hill, in the area of giving, prayer and fasting, is to steer us away from hypocrisy. You might have seen that that word was used a number of times. Do not be like and be a hypocrite. This word comes from the hypocrites, the Greek word, which is where the English word hypocrite comes from. And it usually refers to an actor. An actor. I think that's interesting in a day where you are all sitting there wearing masks. And I can't see your reactions to anything I've said. So I'm just assuming you've all agreed with me. But wearing masks makes it really hard to see where each of us are at. Wearing masks is something that we can hide behind. Not the literal masks that you are wearing today because of our COVID stuff, but the masks that we hide behind, whether it be a pretense of righteousness or religiousness or piousness. Cynthia and I had a massive chat about this, and we've looked back over some of the ages, and you sometimes see the hypocritical understanding that we've been in and through our churches, not just Baptist Church, but all churches. It's a challenge for each and every one of us not to be actors when it comes to following Jesus, but to be real, to be see-through, to be open. You see, Jesus is warning us against pretending to be someone who we're not. For when we give, pray, and fast. In Jesus' day, men might pray aloud in the synagogue and speak with lofty phrases and make it sound very impressive. But Jesus is calling us for the simple things, to not wear the masks, but to be real, to live a life of faith, hope, and love. Let's pray. Father God, your challenge to us today is when we give, when we pray, and when we fast. Oh Lord God, may we be obedient. May we understand the good that we know we should do and follow through. Lord, there's three areas. I believe into my own personal life, Lord, you've spoken into a number of other areas that I know I should do and that you're calling me to again put back into practice, to make it a part of my daily communion with you, to make it a part of who I am as I follow you, Jesus. So, Father, I pray today that you would challenge each and every one of us, that we would be faithful givers, we would be faithful prayers, and we would be faithful in fasting. Lord God, I lift us as a church before you. We want to follow you. We want to be real followers of Jesus. We want to be authentic. We don't want to play games. We don't want to hide behind masks. So, Father, may your kingdom come. And may your will be done in me, in us, in this place, today and forever. Amen.